You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
All right. If everybody could find a seat, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians. We have a water baptism service today. We're going to get it one way or the other. And so we're going to take it outside, literally. So after the service, after communion's over, we'll pray, and then we'll go outside and have a time of celebration as we baptize a couple of people. We're just really excited about that, we'll see how it is in a horse trough. We haven't had any horses in it for a while, so that's a good thing. But we're really glad. We do also want to remind everybody of the business meeting we're going to have August 27th. And if you are a member, you should have received a letter. And for anybody who's not a member, we have those letters on the back, and you're welcome to look at them. And what we're going to be looking at is the possibility of putting the property up for sale. Okay, now remember, the church is not for sale. Got that? Let me hear you say it. All right, good. Just as long as we're clear on that, okay? It's not for sale right now, okay? I don't want that coming back at me, okay? So we're going to talk about that. All members are needed for that meeting, and then everyone who calls Heights Church their home is welcome in that meeting. Let's talk about it. But along the way, we also want the opportunity to hear from you. But this is a time of prayer. This is a time of discernment. And so from now to August 27th, we really want you praying about what the Lord would have us do. So just a couple of things real quick about why we're looking at this process. And the thing that we just keep coming to is this particular building has become a barrier. Handicap accessibility, those kinds of things that are really needs in our church, not just our community, but in our church, have become a barrier. And when we have looked at the costs to get the building up to proper accessibility, the costs are really high. So we have property values that are starting to come back up. We have a debt-free property, and that would allow us to have some capital to do some new things. And so that's the reason we're looking at that particular avenue. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind is that the church is us, okay? It's not the property, okay? It's us. And what we have over the years really invested in is us as people. And what we really long for, that we really try to work hard at, is to be a continual presence in the city. So the other thing we're looking at on the other end of this equation is the kind of place to be in where we can do something that keeps us as a continual presence in the city 7 days a week. So the possibility of leasing a place where we can put something in like a business, like a coffee shop, where we have a continual presence in the city, and then have some additional space where we can do things like after-school programs or ESL programs or recovery groups, spaces for the people like that to meet, so we can continue to be a presence in the city 7 days a week, because that's what we really have on our heart. And so if we can build that model and utilize a building better, then we can have that presence and use this space for other needs in the city. So we want to extend our presence in the city, and we need to get rid of the building. We need to get rid of the barrier being the building. Okay, we want to have that place where people can get in. And we want to also unleash the creativity of our church and do something viable on a daily basis in our community. So those are some of the things. And we're going to continue to have that conversation. Along the way, we invite questions, comments, just what are you sensing? And so a couple of ways. One is you can talk to any one of us as leadership, for myself or for the board, with Ida, with Nick, with Jake, or with our staff, with Pastor Brenna, Pastor Grace, Vicky, Kelsey, myself, any of those ideas that you have, or questions that you have, or concerns. We really, really want to have that conversation. If you want to just jot some things down, even in a way that just kind of puts a question out there, you're just not comfortable and you just want to be able to write it, we have some comment sheets, question comment sheets back there. And then there's a little box, and you can just fold the sheet up and put it in the box, and then we can check on that from time to time and see if we can answer that question. If you don't want to put your name on it, that's fine. But if you raise a question that we can answer, we want to try and do that. So, again, we're just really we want to be in a discernment process right now. We want to be in a prayerful process of saying, what would the Lord have us do? And so that's why we're looking at these particular things at this particular time. Okay? So again, August 27th is our meeting, 7:00. It's a Wednesday night. I'll be here at the church. And we will, and for all members, we really, really need you here, because you're the ones that will be helping us make that decision that night. And we hope to have other people with us that will help us in that decision-making process as well. Okay? All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that has stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. We're going to be doing water baptism at the end of our worship time today. I just want us to focus in on the importance of water baptism. And why do we do this in the church? And I just want to look at some passages of Scripture here, and I wanted to start with Colossians because it's just this great picture. Because with water baptism, we have this symbolic burial with Christ and this symbolic rising up with Christ into new life, and it is a testimony for the world. When you come to Christ, you know internally that you have come to Christ. Externally, that will begin to show. But one of the marks of the church from the time of Christ has been that symbolism of what has happened internally. It's not just a matter of a changed life that you begin to show to the world. It is that testimony to the world that internally I have put off this old self and I am taking on this new life in Christ. And it is symbolized in that going down in burial and coming up again in new life in Christ. So in baptism, a believer is saying, my old life is behind me and I want to show you that. I am a new person in Christ and I want to show you that. And they begin with a new life. It is a way of giving testimony to what has already happened inwardly and a clear commitment to turn from the old life. So we want to look at several things that the Scripture talks to us about why this is important. So what do the Scriptures say? The first thing is simple. It's an ordinance of the Lord. It's command of the Lord. Okay? But, you know, we should really be interested in those things, you know? And so, amen? God, don't shout me down, you know? We really should be interested in doing what Jesus said to do. And Matthew 28:19-20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Our mandate from Christ is to make disciples. And part of that process is baptizing them. It is a public statement early on in faith where the world knows Christ has done something significant and we want to be obedient to the commands of our Lord. This is something that Jesus himself demonstrated when he submitted to John the Baptist and allowed himself to be baptized, not because he had sin, but because he was leading the way in showing what he wanted everybody else to symbolize, what he was going to do for them. And so he walks through that, and then after that, he commands his disciples to do the very same thing. And since the beginning of the church, the two things that have been absolutely consistent with the witness of the church have been baptism and communion. Both of those things have been the consistent outward witness of the church. There are all kinds of other forms of worship that we have picked up along the way, other things that have maybe have been added or restored, but the thing that has been consistent in the body of Christ, wherever you go throughout history in the world, has been baptism and communion, the table of the Lord. Those are the two outward forms of worship that the church has been consistent in following in the commands of the Lord. And we want to stay consistent and stay obedient to that. So part of a discipleship process is that outward commitment, that outward statement that says, I have given my life to Christ. Inwardly, he has washed me. He has made me new. He has done something powerful in me. I want my old life gone. I want my new life to be in Christ, and I want to show the world this is what I mean. I mean to follow him. The second thing about what the scriptures talk to us about is really powerful. So turn with me over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I want to read a couple of verses there. Because baptism also talks about a union with Christ. It's not... Now, throughout the church, the other thing we've done have had different views on what baptism does and what communion does. So I'll tell you where I am, okay? And part of it with communion and with baptism is not simple symbolism, but this spiritual exercise that brings in this union with Christ. And Romans pulls that out. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, look here in verses 3 and 4. It says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There is this union that goes on, and you're wanting to join with Christ, and you're showing that inward spiritual action with this outward physical action that is spiritual. It's this demonstration of that. Think of it this way. Think of it as when you have a wedding ceremony to state to the world, this is the person I want to join in union with. You don't have to do it that way, but you do, because you want to show the world, you want to give witness to the world that this is the person I want to join with, okay? And so we celebrate marriage and we celebrate weddings and we talk about those rings and the symbolism of those rings and the two that are going to come together, because outwardly you want to give a demonstration of what you know has already happened inwardly. And there is this union that has gone on, and you want to express it in some way, in a very powerful way, to the world that you've met someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you do that in the ceremony of a wedding. And in baptism, you are giving testimony to the world. I have found the one whom my soul loves, and I am joined to him. And I can tell you about it, but I want to be obedient to him. And one of the things that is obedient to him is he has asked me into this ceremony. And I want to step into these waters and give demonstration of the one who loves me and I love him. It is this place of union where you are demonstrating to the world. And it is a powerful experience. I have known people who, when they walk through that water baptism, that when they come up, there is just, sometimes the Spirit will come on them and they will have the gift of tongues right away. Sometimes there's just this massive worship that will take place. But there is just something sometimes that just happens in people. It's not this perfunctory obligation. It's this understanding of I love him and he loves me. And I want the old life gone and I want the new life to come and I want to show people. And it's a powerful demonstration. The third thing about water baptism for us is, for us, it is immersion in water. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, it was going down into the water and coming back up. When Philip gives witness to the Ethiopian eunuch, it is when they find a body of water and the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized in water. And so that's the method that we use. I kid everyone, you know, it depends on how much sin you have in your life as to how long I hold you down. So, and then we bring you up. Hopefully you're not too old. But we do immersion again because with immersion, it is that sign of death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's the form that we take. And so now I will say this. There have been times I have moved aside from that formula. Because of the location, because of what was going on, because of the lack of the facility that we needed at that particular time. There were all kinds of things that sometimes go into that. But as much as we possibly can, I'll go get a horse trough. You know, it's like, you know, we'll do something, you know, we will put you in water, you know, because we want to symbolize, we want to show fully what this life means. We want people around to understand. And those who get baptized, it's one thing of power, it's a symbol of power, but how many of you have witnessed baptism and you sense the power of God? Amen? I mean, there is a sense of this is someone that is claiming themselves and Christ has claimed them and they are going to be new. And I mean, it's an exciting time. It's for the church. You know, it's to give witness to the church as well. And so we want to follow through with this as much as we possibly can. The fourth thing to understand is that we do baptism in the power of the Trinity. We follow the Lord's command in Matthew 28. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the name, it is the authority. And in the authority, we baptize in the authority of the Trinitarian God. And I'm working through, when I'm going to Ethiopia in September to teach, and my assignment is to teach the Gospel of John. And as I've been working my way through the Gospel of John again, I am just continually blown away by that combination of where you see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. And I wish I could remember the theologian off the top of my head, but I remember reading several years ago a theologian who equated it with the Trinity. He called it the Trinitarian dance. And it is this activity of the Godhead where the Father sends the Son and sends the Spirit, and the Son declares the kingdom and brings people into the kingdom, but it is the Spirit who comes into the believer, and then when Christ is not physically present, it is the Spirit who comes in and reminds us of the things that that Christ has commanded, and it is this continuous activity, but it's not just this perfunctory activity, it's like this beautiful dance that happens. And we are invited as believers into that dance. And it is this activity of the Trinity, where God the Father has done His work, and the Son has done His work, and the Spirit does His work, and it's that continual in and out and motion of the Trinity, and that is this perfection. And we are invited into that. And that is the full authority of the kingdom. So when we baptize in the name, in the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because we want the fullness of the Godhead, the activity of the Godhead in our lives all the time. And we want to commit to that. The fifth thing to understand is that it is for believers. It is for believers. In the book of Acts, when the Ethiopian eunuch understood what Philip was saying, he asked about being baptized. It is when we believe that we take this step. Yes, I want to be joined with Christ. And Paul said, in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed with human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. It is the understanding of He has done that in me, and I want to give an outward witness to that action. And I am in this action saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I am following Him. In the early church, it was a time of serious time. There is an action. We had Radas, who was with us for a time, and he got his citizenship here. When he got his citizenship, he invited me to the naturalization ceremony. So it was over at Bethel in the Great Hall, and there were over 700 that day that were naturalized as citizens of the United States. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I tell you, for what Doss went through in that whole process, and others that I have seen, you know, I have such a deep appreciation, you know. And in that ceremony, as they swear in, as they are sworn in as naturalized citizens of the United States, what they say is, I renounce all other allegiances. They have to say it. I renounce all other allegiances. It's a powerful service. You need to find a website somewhere that tells where the ceremonies are, and you need to go to one. It is powerful. Because they are saying, with this action and all the work that has gone before, I'm a part of the United States of America. In the early church, the process to baptism was part of it, or in the early church, was the understanding of, in part of that baptism ceremony, was a renunciation of the devil and his work. You renounced the control that Satan had over you. And you forsook all other allegiances. And you were taking Christ. And that is the symbol that we're going to step into today. That you are forsaking all other allegiances. And it is Christ alone. It is Christ alone. We are going to walk through this very, very powerful place as we prepare our hearts for the table of the Lord. But then after that, we're going to walk through this with a couple of people. And as we enter into that, we are going to have, it's just going to be a time of celebration and a time of worship. But right now, let's prepare our hearts. Going to ask Grace if she'd come to the keyboard here. We're going to prepare our hearts for the table of the Lord, which is one of those other places that has significance. significance in the body of Christ and within our body. Because this is another place where we come to week after week, and we are reminded of the powerful work of Christ in our lives. And it is a time for us to reflect. It's a time for us to reset the compass. These two particular things, with the table of the Lord and with baptism, are those wonderful ancient reminders to us that Christ is all. These are the emblems of the sacrifice of his body and his blood. And we're going to partake in the ceremony of a baptism where people are saying, I want my old life gone. I want this new life in Christ. And those are those refreshing reminders. Christ is everything. He is all. And forsaking all others, we want him. So as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we are reminded that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Brother Rick and Sid and Nick, if you would assist me at the table today. Praise the Lord. We invite you to the table of the Lord as a member of the body of Christ. This is a place where we encounter the presence of God. If you're in need of healing, there will be intercessors who will be here that will anoint you with oil and pray with you. If you're in need of just maybe just a prayer that you just need someone to join you with and agree with you, the intercessors will be here for that as well. But this is a place where we meet with Jesus and we reflect on what he has done for us, and we celebrate and we worship. We don't move through this fast. We take these emblems, and maybe you want to find a seat around the altar, or you want to be back in your seat, but just take the time. Maybe sing the song as Pastor Grace leads us, or just to reflect and to spend time worshiping the one who gave his all for us. Father, we come to you and we ask that you would hear our cry. Lord, that our hearts would be prepared as we partake of this table. Holy Spirit, come and empower. Holy Spirit, come and empower these gifts into our lives to remind us of what our precious Savior has done, to remind us of what our precious Savior has said, so we can live kingdom power in this world. Lord, for those that are in need of healing today, may you come and touch them in this place. May they sense your healing. Lord, as we partake of communion, may Sue Ellen in that hospital room experience the healing presence of Jesus, because you are there. Lord, we ask for your healing in our soul and in our body. Help us to be restored, renewed, and empowered for all that is ahead of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. As you are ready, come and be served. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. The paddle lit the grave, war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be
Missy, I'd like for you to come. I just feel like I want to pray over you guys. Several years ago, Jake and Missy always host international students in their home for a school year. And several years ago, a young lady from Egypt named Nashua was in their home. Anybody who knew Nashua will never forget Nashua. Her first church, she came to church with Jake and Missy the first Sunday, and we had just finished a 40-day fast as a church. And she got up and talked about just, she's Muslim, but she was so amazed that Christians fasted. You know, and it was just this amazing witness, and Jake and Missy have just been this amazing witness in her life. And Jake and Missy are going to Egypt to visit Nashua this week. And how many of you know, if you're flying on an airplane in that general direction, you're a little nervous for Jake and Missy? Yeah, and family's back here and family's nervous. And I just want to pray over you guys. And Brenna and Nick, if you come around, Nida, if you come around. And I just want to pray over them. The Lord's got the plane. We're good, right? Amen. But we just want to see them continue to pour into Nashua's life. They just have such a heart for people, and they just want to love Muslims, and they want to love whoever the Lord brings across their path. And this is an opportunity, and they're going to be over there for a couple of weeks, and we just want to pray for them and just ask the Lord's best for them. So let's just reach your hand out. Lord, we're so grateful for this opportunity that Jake and Missy have to go see Nashua and her family and her new husband. And Lord, we're just so grateful that she has kept that contact with them. And Lord, we just ask blessing. Lord, we know that you have Jake and Missy in your hand. Your protection is there. And we just affirm that and confirm that in the name of Jesus, that you will guard them. You will guard their going out, and you will guard their coming in. And so, Lord, that this will be a week, these will be weeks of safety. Lord, there will not be any issues arising in Egypt that will put them in any danger. But Lord, you will be the one who will hem them around and guard them. But Lord, we want more than that. We want to see Muslims come to Jesus. And so, Lord, just work in Jake and Missy, and as they can, just to bless Nashua and her family. And Lord, may the anointing be there, that those conversations that could be so key would just flow and just happen. And Lord, we ask for more than protection. We ask for your kingdom to come in Egypt. We ask for these great warriors to be sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit to touch them. And Lord, that this family that will be there in Egypt will be blessed, and they will sense the moving of the Holy Spirit, and there will be a new move of God because Jacob Missy stepped out in faith and took this trip. Lord, we ask for protection over their kids. Just watch over them. Just keep everybody safe while they're apart. And Lord, that there would just be a blessing. And Lord, we look so forward to having them back and just seeing what God's going to do. Lord, we just send them out in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, we want to pray. Let's pray together. Our youth are going up to camp this week. We've got, seven, eight kids that are going. And we need some radical change in some of those kids. Then let's lift them up. Father, we lift up our youth today. Father, thank you for Jared and Emma being the leaders on this particular trip. And thank you for Pastor Brenna and her heart in preparing the way. Lord, we have kids that are broken. We have kids that need deliverance. We have kids that just need that deeper walk with you. And Lord, I pray there would be that massive move of the Holy Spirit in that place, that when they just touch the campground tomorrow, it's just go from that moment on. Lord, not that moment to Friday, that moment on. Lord, I want Monday to be powerful. I want Monday to be powerful for those kids. Oh, Lord, I want a week from Monday to be powerful for those kids. Lord, I pray for an anointing on Jared, an anointing on Emma as they minister with these kids, get into their lives. Lord, may the Spirit give them the gifts and the discernment and the power that they need to get into those lives. Lord, the other kids that they'll get to counsel and lead, may you just touch them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, now bless us as we celebrate in baptism. Lord, let us just lift up our praise to you as we celebrate new life. Lord, and as we go, may we go in the power of the Spirit. Go out of this place loving you and loving our world. In your great name, we ask all of these things. And all God's people said, amen. All right, we're going to move outside, and we are just going to take it straight out and right in the front yard. So if you could just make like a semicircle around that water tank and try not to drink, we'd appreciate that.